Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. This is the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, this afternoon, again, as we began this morning, looking at what Paul particularly says about being filled with the Spirit. There's the command, be filled with the Spirit. What does that look like? What's involved? We saw this morning that it is a life of biblical praise and worship to the Lord. But now in verse 20, we have the second aspect of a Spirit-filled life. And it relates to one of the first things that we teach our children in terms of good manners. Don't forget to say thank you. But saying thank you, giving thanks, is not just an issue of politeness or courtesy. Its presence, thanksgiving or gratitude, is one of the primary characteristics of true religion. And its absence, an absence of gratitude, is a symptom of unbelief, of sin, and of depravity. Here is the second mark of the Spirit-filled life from Ephesians 5, verse 20. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God the Father. This morning, we considered praise and worship, but in the Bible, giving thanks is almost synonymous with worship. Psalm 100 that we sang already this afternoon, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Their praise and thanksgiving are just held side by side. Give thanks to him and praise his name. There again, it's repeated. Praise and thanks mingled together. Prayer should always be mingled and permeated with giving thanks. Philippians 4:6, Paul wrote, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Thanksgiving mingled in all of our prayers. And so, with that before us this afternoon, a Spirit-filled life, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, are you thankful? Are you a thankful person? If you're not thankful, what does that say about you? If I'm not thankful, what does that really say about my thinking and my life? I could say several things. I could be someone who's very proud and self-reliant. I don't need to thank anyone for anything because I've done it myself, and I can pat myself on the back. Or on the other hand, if I'm not thankful, what else am I? Am I grumbling? Am I discontent? And those are things that often fill the vacuum or the void when thanksgiving is absent. What does that say about my life? You know, and it's a major concern. People can be thankful for things in a general sort of way, a Thanksgiving Day or other days, but are we thanking God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Christian thanks, gospel thanks. Either way, whether it's proud self-reliance or grumbling discontent, the issue is serious. Romans 1:21 says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. not giving thanks to God in worship is a sign of a depraved, reprobate mind. It's a symptom of sin and condemnation. It is sin and would ultimately lead to condemnation were it not for God's grace. But by God's grace and for the things that we receive in God's grace, a spirit-filled Christian gives thanks to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, God the Father is specified as the one to whom we ought to be thankful. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." The works of the Trinity in many ways are undivided, but the Father is often the representative person of the Godhead. And so for benefits received, we thank God the Father. And we are to thank Him for everything, always. We are never to be without thanksgiving to God. 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." There are always things to be thankful for. Always things to be thankful for in every situation. We are people who live by grace. A Christian is someone who lives and moves and has his being in the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" The Christian should be very aware, must be very aware, that everything that we have, every good thing, comes to us from God's merciful hand and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. A spirit-filled person is a thankful person. It should be easily and readily apparent that someone is thankful. When you meet them and you spend any amount of time with them and you listen to them, you see their lives, that you would come away saying, "That's a thankful person. He or she is so full of gratitude to God." That's a mark of a spirit-filled life. Well, how can we live that life? Well, we give thanks, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot that's involved when that language is used, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, we deserve no good thing. Even the good that comes to unbelievers, the rain that falls on the just and the unjust, the sun that shines, and so many other things, ultimately, if they remain in unbelief, these things ultimately will be evidence in judgment against them. They'll be held accountable for these things. But because of his life and death on our behalf, the life and death of Jesus Christ on behalf of his people, God fills our lives with blessings. Every benefit we receive is a gift of grace and mercy because of the work and person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our prophet, priest, and king, our mediator. And so we're thankful. We give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ because we know that it's because of Christ that we have these blessings that are truly blessings in our lives. And being thankful in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ not only means we have reason to be thankful, it also means that our actual acts of thanksgiving are acceptable to God. Nothing we offer to God is perfect or free from sin. Even our gratitude still in this world, in this life, is mixed with sin, sadly. Our thanksgiving is never profound enough. It's never pure enough. It's never perpetual enough. but it comes to the Father through the mediation of the Son, through the blood and righteousness of Jesus. And so when we offer our thanksgiving to God as we worship Him, though it's marred by sin, perhaps in many ways, we offer it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father in heaven finds it pleasing and acceptable. And that's a wonderful thing. It's something to be thankful for, that God accepts our thanksgiving, isn't it? Thanks to the Father, in the name of the Son, by the working of the Holy Spirit. To be Spirit-filled is to be gratitude-filled. And as I was thinking of this command to be filled with the Spirit and this connection to gratitude, to giving thanks, it compelled me to think of why the Holy Spirit filling a human life, a human heart, translates into a thankful life. What is there about being filled with the third person of the Trinity, filled with the Spirit, being under the influence of the Spirit of God, that inevitably translates into thanksgiving to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is there about the Spirit's presence in a person's life and the Spirit's work in a person's life that causes gratitude? And I just began to reflect on who the Holy Spirit is and what He has done. And because of the things that we learn about what He's done in Scripture, because of those things, when that same Spirit who has done these things fills our lives, we're thankful to God for these things. Now, what are some of those things? There are many ways to think about it. At this point, the sermon becomes a 12-point sermon. It's thought of 12 things, and there are probably many more. We won't go into any of them very deeply, but just an overarching look at the work of the Holy Spirit and how when that same Spirit dwells in a person's life, fills a person's life, that person should overflow with gratitude. First, 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We have a Bible. We have the Word of God written because of the work of the Holy Spirit. What a blessing to have the Word of God. Thank God the Father for this work of His Spirit in giving us the Holy Scriptures, the Word of eternal life. Secondly, John 16:8, Jesus says of the Spirit, and He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The Spirit convicts me of sin, and among those sins, He convicts me of being ungrateful. His conviction of sin also makes me know more deeply and appreciate and understand more deeply that every good thing that I have must be from God's mercy and grace in my life. That I don't deserve these things in and of myself. A person who is really convicted of sin cannot say, I deserve this blessing. He can only say, thank you, Father. Number three, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of creation. When we enjoy the created universe, when we look up and marvel at the moon and the stars at night, as the psalmist did in Psalm 8, when we look at the plants as our flower gardens are starting to grow and to bloom, as we look at the animals, the wonders and the blessings that we appreciate in this created universe, even in this fallen world, when we see these things and enjoy them, we should thank God the Father, by whose Spirit they were created. Fourth, but the angel said to her, this is Luke 1, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, and he will be called Great. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit hovered over the Virgin Mary as the Christ, the God-man, was conceived in her womb. When we think of the incarnation, when we think of the Word became flesh for us and our salvation, we should thank God for the Spirit's work. Turn next, fifthly, to Isaiah chapter 11. "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit." That's the Messiah, Jesus. "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked." How did Jesus accomplish his work as Savior? The Spirit rested on him. For all that Christ said and did and will do, we should thank God for the Spirit's work. Sixth, we turn to Hebrews 9. "The blood of goats and bulls, the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?" You see, here's another aspect of our salvation. Christ offered himself on the cross as the great and perfect and final sacrifice for sin. He did that by the work of the eternal Spirit. When you think of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that means for the forgiveness of sins, thank God the Father for the work of the Spirit. Seventh, in Romans 1 we read, "Regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." Here the resurrection of Jesus as well is connected to the Holy Spirit. So when you think of the empty tomb, when you think of Christ as the first fruit of the resurrection of his people, thank the Father for the Spirit's work. You see, the Spirit is doing these things. When that same Spirit fills a person's life, how can there not be gratitude to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? In John 3, Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." the Holy Spirit of God who brings about the new birth, regeneration. And so if you're someone who, though you were born dead in sin, have been made alive with Christ, thank the Father for the work of the Spirit in the new birth. There's more. Ninth, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The Christian life, a changed life, grows by the work of the Holy Spirit. We call that sanctification. And as a Christian, as you grow in grace and you see sin being put off and the new man in Christ being put on more and more, thank God the Father for the work of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit fills your life. Tenth, we turn to Romans 8. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The blessing of adoption. The blessing of assurance. All connected to the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Thank God the Father for that work of the Spirit in your life. 11. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through groans that cannot be uttered, Romans 8:26. The blessing of prayer. Help in prayer. When we come to that point where we just don't know what to pray anymore, when it's just groans, that help in prayer is worked by the Spirit of God in our weakness. So whenever you pray, thank the Father for the Spirit's ministry in your praying. 12th, and finally, the first chapter of Ephesians. You were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And here it's our inheritance, our glorification, our final perfect conformity to Christ, the inheritance of the new heavens and the new earth, all connected to the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of what is to come. I hope you can see, beloved, by this short survey of the Word of God and the work of God, the Holy Spirit, that if a person is filled with the Spirit, he or she must be a thankful person. If all of these things are true about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and they certainly are, then the more we're filled with that same Holy Spirit, the more thankful certainly we should be. When life is filled with struggles and difficulties and hardships, with trials and troubles that are often so very hard to understand, call to mind the blessings of the Spirit that never change, that are true now and into eternity, and give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it was from the belly of the great fish that Jonah prayed, "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." Grateful praise in such a hard circumstance. And when you think of all the good things in your life, give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.